I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
When I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, you know, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean and just our group of family members that we have in our locker room and in our organization. You know, so it's not just about me and Kev. I don't want to make it just about that. We're cornerstones here, but you know, we have a few other guys that are on contract, and I think we just got to make some moves this offseason, really talk about it. And really be intentional about what we're building and have some fun with it, make it enjoyable. And, you know, hopefully we get to start from day one just as a squad and as a family. And we just really worry about us.
It's a brand new day. And I chuckle a little bit every time I see that. That was April 25th. From the potential sign and trade of Kyrie to his decision to opt in. And we don't even have to mention all of the baggage that he's brought to the team the last couple of seasons. Then yesterday, just days after Kyrie's opt-in, his bestie and partner, KD, officially requesting a trade away from Brooklyn. It has certainly been a journey, and we've been on just a ride. We have Perk here with us now. Big Perk, I'm going to start with you. Do you blame KD for wanting out of Brooklyn?
Do you, Christine? Absolutely not, I don't. And you know what? Here's the thing. KD should have left a long time ago. Matter of fact, when James Harden was traded at the trade deadline, this past trade deadline, KD should have bounced then. You know why? And I said this yesterday. Since KD arrived in Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving, he's been the most reliable. He's been the most loyal, and he's been 100% in for us, losing himself into the team. Kyrie Irving hasn't. And Kyrie Irving is the reason, the main reason why Kevin Durant left, because you can't trust him. Listen, Kyrie Irving, just in that interview, oh, yeah, me and Kev, you know, it's not just about us, but we gonna go to the drawing board. And he even used the word family. Think about this for a second. Kyrie Irving, just a week ago, last week, was out there really testing the waters to see what other teams would actually, you know, bite and see what they would do for us, the Lakers and things to that nature on the sign and trade. Do you tell me that's loyalty when it comes down to him being loyal to Kevin Durant? Hell no. And I'm so proud of KD right now. This is probably the proudest I ever been to him for standing up and doing the right thing for himself. This is completely different from the Golden State Warriors when he went to the Golden State and left Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. This right here showed me that Kevin Durant, you know, is saying, forget the friendship, forget the brotherhood. I have had enough, and I'm about to do what's best for me, and he has made the right choice.
Here's where I stand with that, Perk, and I hear what you're saying, brother, but why would you align yourself with a guy like that in the first place? If you're Kevin Durant, because you had to have known, based on what happened in Cleveland, based on what happened in Boston, that this is not the kind of guy that you should even have the chance to tie your fortunes with. So I hear what you're saying, Perk, in terms of that it's courageous and you're proud of him. You feel like a big brother to a younger brother because you guys know each other. I get it. But we're all grown folks here. You know how grown folks can act up once in a while, and you can't be the one to say, yeah, if he's with me, he's going to be different. Mm-mm. Kyrie's different. And a guy like Kevin Durant who has that kind of intellect, Perk should have known that and not tie his fortunes or want to even have any kind of alignment with a guy that's as great ball player as Kyrie Irving, but he's not a great teammate, has never been a great teammate, was not that in Cleveland, was not that in Boston, and Lord knows he was not that with the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, what I don't understand, and Perk, I'm hoping you can shed some light on this, is that Kevin Durant came to this decision now after Kyrie Irving had opted into his $36.5 million player option. Like, if he was going to, if he didn't want to play with Kyrie Irving anymore because he saw the writing was on the wall, you know, why not do it before all of this came to a head before Kyrie Irving effectively betrayed him and called LeBron James, called the Lakers and said, hey, if this thing doesn't work out the way that I want it to with the Brooklyn Nets, can I come there? Like, this just kind of feels like we saw something happen between the organization and Kyrie Irving, and it almost feels like Kevin Durant is siding with Kyrie through all of this. Like, you've put me through so much. If I'm Kevin Durant and you're Kyrie Irving, but in the end, does it not feel like he's, you know, hurting the franchise itself instead of, you know, the player that, you know, really hurt him and made him shoulder a load that was seismic last year, a load that was even too much for Kevin Durant? Like, that's what I don't understand, why he came to this decision now, when if this was going to be what it was all along, why he didn't leave earlier?
Well, one, Kevin Durant haven't been communicating with the Brooklyn Nets. And I believe he haven't said a word to them since the press conference. I think even since the exit meeting. The second part of it is that while Kyrie Irving was out there making it publicly known that he was out there trying to leave or trying to get to the Lakers and made it a big, you know, big scene, Kevin Durant has been quietly working behind the scenes. When you look at his preferred destinations, when Kevin Durant went to the Nets yesterday and said, you know what, here's my two teams that I would like to be traded to. And he said the Miami Heat and the Phoenix Suns. Okay, let's just look at the Phoenix Suns, for example. We all know that Kevin Durant and Chris Paul have a great relationship. We all know that Devin Booker and Kevin Durant has a great relationship. We also know that Monty Williams is one of Kevin Durant's big brothers / mentors. So for him to pick the Phoenix Suns or to tell the Brooklyn Nets that he wants to go to the Phoenix Suns just goes to show me that he's been working behind the scenes for a long period of time anyway, and conversations has been held. Kevin Durant, look, just because he hadn't came out with it publicly, I know that he's been working behind the scenes for sure, and rightfully so. You don't have to announce it. Just yeah. when he did announce it, we all knew, the world knew, he was ready to leave. Mm-hmm.
So if this doesn't happen this way with Kyrie Irving, let's say the Nets do bend to his will earlier in the week and they give him a max extension. Are we talking about this today? Is Kevin Durant still out at that point?
I don't know, but I do know this. I know before the season started, I know that Kevin Durant was supposed to sign his contract first, which he did, his contract extension. Next was supposed to be James Harden, and following that was supposed to be Kyrie Irving. All three of those guys had committed to signing their contract extensions or told one another they were going to do that. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Kyrie Irving blew it up. Now, I will say this in his defense. I can't help it that the state of New York had that crazy-ass mandate rule. It was ridiculous. It made no sense at all. But it was in place, okay? Mm-hmm. And Kyrie Irving, with his own body, had the right to choose not to get vaccinated. That's where the problem started. And one thing I know about Kevin Durant is that although I would have liked him to ask for a trade during the season or at the trade deadline, that's not who he is. He's a guy that's going to finish things out. And when I say finish things out, he was going to finish that season out regardless on how he felt about the Brooklyn Nets, regardless on how he felt about Kyrie Irving. And look, Freddie, to you, you know I love you, my brother. But here's the thing, right? KD thought he was the one person that could change and get the best out of Kyrie Irving mm-hmm. and hold him accountable. KD thought that they actually was real brothers, that they could actually form a team, come together, play together, and make things happen. I mean, he can't help it that Kyrie, you know, flipped the script and he figured out who Kyrie was once he got with him. But I will say this, you were right about this point. My grandma and my grandfather always used to say, a stripe on the zebra never changed.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes there's certain stripes that you can't be around. And you can't be the person to say to change that person. Because Kyrie has to change Kyrie. It can't be about anybody else. Maybe this is a soul-searching thing for Kyrie Irving, the same way that Kevin Durant was able to search his soul and say, I don't mind being friends with this guy, but I don't want to put up with this anymore. I don't know what the likelihood is going to be, but if Kyrie Irving has the same kind of soul-searching maneuver that Kevin Durant was able to find this year, then maybe there's hope for Kyrie to be a better teammate. I'm not banking on it, but I guess I should not be surprised that Kevin Durant said, you know, at a certain point, if I don't want to be a part of something or with somebody, I'm not going to stick around.
And guess what? Guess what? Do y'all see what's happening right now? Do y'all understand what's going on right now for us with the CBA coming up in a few years and what the players has done and how they done pissed owners off around the NBA? You look at the Ben Simmons situation last year, right? When he quit on the Philadelphia 76ers and forced his way up out of there, and the Philadelphia 76ers and the ownership of the Philadelphia 76ers stood firm and held their ground and did the things that they did and how they handled the situation. Do you know the Philadelphia 76ers had support of other owners around the league? Now, all of a sudden, you get to this point. We're talking about Kevin Durant, arguably the best basketball player in the world, just requested a trade. The ownership and Sean Marks of the Brooklyn Nets, they're not begging Kevin Durant to stay. They're saying, you know what, we're going to grant you your wish. You know what that goes to show me is that, one, owners are getting sick and tired of how guys are acting once they get top dollar. Two, the CBA, the owners are going to be waiting on the players at the front door. Three, let me give a message to the players out there, right? To all the players out there that's getting their money and getting top dollars, I'm talking about $100 million, $200 million plus, I want you to get all the money that you can. But I also want you to go out there and fulfill your obligations and make sure you do what you need to do for the generation that's coming up behind you. Just like Kobe Bryant did for you. Just like Kevin Durant did for you. Just like LeBron James still doing to this day. Just like a guy like Dwayne Wade. And then you take it a step further. Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, all those guys did their part of showing up to work, being professional, so that they didn't hurt the generation that was coming up under them, so that they could get paid top dollars. I would like to see our guys in today's league do the same damn thing. Return the favor to the next generation of players that's coming up under you so they can have an opportunity to make $250 million or $300 million when they get to the NBA.
And to that point, too, like Perk was talking about, the loyalty that Kevin Durant had, like, as much as we all probably would have liked to have seen him out of the Brooklyn Nets sooner than right now and request a trade midseason, he followed through. He played all those games without Kyrie Irving last year, had to shoulder a load that led to him being injured and having to miss, you know, double-digit games where they went on a complete tailspin. He did what he had to do. I don't think you can fault him right now for leaving something that is as toxic as what it looks like it is behind the scenes for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dumpster fire. We have plenty to talk about when it comes to the Nets. We still will do that later, but not with you, Perk. Great seeing you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The trial of WNBA star Brittany Griner began today as Russian authorities have accused her of smuggling significant amounts of a narcotic substance. The two-time Olympic gold medalist arrived earlier this morning at a court near Moscow. Griner, who was arrested on February 17th, faces allegations that could be punishable by up to 10 years in prison. She is currently being held at a pretrial detention center in north of Moscow. According to her lawyer, her detention was extended 6 months pending the trial's outcome. So let's welcome in ESPN special correspondent Angela Rye, who has interviewed Brittany's wife, Sherelle. And Angela, I want to ask you this. What should Brittany and her legal team expect as the trial opens today?
Well, what we know about Russia, some of us know from looking and trying to figure out what's going to happen next, is that Russia's legal justice system is not like our justice system. Their legal system, they normally have a conviction rate that is super high. I'm saying to the tune of 99%. So normally when we go into the court system in America, we have a presumption of innocence. We're innocent until proven guilty, at least some of us in this country, more often than not. In Russia, that's not the case at all. What happens is Brittany's team will be allowed to present a case, and that case is not going to be heard. If it's about innocence, they expect that you mitigate guilt rather than presume innocence at all. So for the first four hearings, of which we know the second one will be on July 7th, the prosecution will continue to present their case. They're talking about high levels of drugs being smuggled into Russia, and we're talking about an alleged 0.7 grams of hash oil. So we also see our standards very differently. I think the other thing that's important for people to know is that the prosecution won't be able to even state its case until four hearings in. So that's where we are right now, and that's what her team can expect and what they've expressed we can expect.
Yeah, Angela, based on the history, the past history of these types of show trials, how likely do you think Brittany Griner is to be acquitted of these charges?
Well, acquittal also is very rare in Russia. So anyone appearing before a Russian judge, you should not expect an acquittal. And in fact, what we also know on this 135th day that Brittany Griner has been wrongfully detained in Russia is that she has to be convicted and sentenced and then request a presidential pardon. That pardon is where there's an exchange for one Russian citizen for Brittany. And that's what we can expect to happen. She doesn't necessarily have to move through the trial process, but she would have to be convicted. The only way for her to circumvent the trial process is for President Biden or someone very senior in the administration to make a call to the Russian government to ensure that Brittany can be exchanged for someone else and receive that presidential pardon and be returned to us. Until then, Brittany's not safe. I think the other thing that people need to really understand is that Brittany isn't just being in a, is being held, isn't being held in a facility near this court. Brittany has a round trip, 5-hour commute to this courthouse every time she arrives. Where she's being held is 5 hours. It's 2.5 hours from this courthouse. So every time Brittany has a court date, she has a 5-hour round trip. So this is an excruciating process, particularly when she can't make any statements about her innocence. If she is, she'll be punished. So she has to go through this process, watch them bring this case about high levels of drug smuggling, and that has to be especially infuriating. Of course, we know that someone from the U.S. government today spoke on behalf of the administration and said it's the highest priority for them to get Brittany home. We would like to see those words met with action.
What kind of legal representation does she have? Because you mentioned in terms of being here, of course, it's different than being in Russia, but what kind of people are representing Brittany Griner far, far away from home?
Well, and I think, again, it's not what kind of people, it's the kind of system they have. So in Russia, the defense attorneys are really there to mitigate the sentence and to mitigate how guilty. Right? There's not a presumption of innocence. They expect once you're arrested, that means you're guilty. And that is how they move. They say that this is the evidence that has been presented. They're laying out what they're calling high levels of drug smuggling into Russia. And we're talking about 0.7 grams of hash oil, again, that was alleged to be in Brittany's suitcase. I would also remind the audience that this is the same trip that Brittany has made for several years, winning championships for her professional basketball team in Russia. She's got to be traveling the same way. So the one thing that was different between this trip and Brittany's other trips is that Russia was about to invade Ukraine. That's what's different. There was a conflict that began to arise, and we had a level 4 travel advisory from the United States urging United States citizens not to travel because of things like this, right? If there is someone on our territory that is now in Russia, going to Russia, they're in harm's way because they know that the only way to get Americans' attention is to do something like this. And that is to hold one of their brightest stars too. Brittany's not just a star for us. She's not just a WNBA all-star and champion here. She's also an Olympic gold medalist, and has also won championships for her team in Russia.
Yeah, she's very well known in Russia, as you mentioned.
That's right.
She's won championships there. And you said that we talked earlier about how you talked to her wife. How much communication has she been having with her family?
So I want to be very clear, because I think the American people don't understand this. Sherelle Griner has not spoken to Brittany for 135 days. She has not heard her wife's voice for 135 days. There have been notes exchanged, and that is it. You all will note that a few weeks back, they began to say that Brittany can now receive emails, right? That is the case. That's the only way Sherelle is communicating with Brittany. So all of this, probably one of the scariest moments in her life, she cannot hear the voices of her family members. That in and of itself is enough to make anyone crazy. And while Brittany is saying she's keeping the faith, she's standing strong, she's doing the best she can given the circumstances, this is very, very difficult to watch, and I can't imagine what she's experiencing.
How much support has her wife, Sherelle, received either from the WNBA or other organizations who clearly see the turmoil that she must be living in every single day that Brittany Griner remains in captivity in Russia? Like, what type of support is she receiving as she's going through this?
Well, as we all know, the WNBA, of course, opened their season with BG42 on the courts of their 12 teams. Not only that, but they've said that they're working very diligently with the NBA and the administration to try to secure Brittany's return. The Players Association, particularly the WNBA Players Association, is posting every single day. All you all have to do is follow them on social media. They're posting every day about securing Brittany's return and demanding that the Biden administration do all that it can to see her return home. One of the top priorities right now for Sherelle and the Griner family is meeting with President Biden. She was told several times by Trevor Reed's family, who you all know was returned in late April, that meeting with President Biden ensured Trevor's return. 1 month after the Reed family met with President Biden, Trevor Reed was back home.
What can supporters of Brittany Griner, Angela, do to help this situation, to remedy this situation?
One, I think we need to pay close attention to this trial. We need to ensure that we're telling people that this system is not like our system. There's a presumption of guilt. You know, we don't know what all is in store for Brittany, and we don't need to find out. Supporters can sign on to the petition at wearebg.org that urges the Biden administration to return Brittany home as soon as possible. They can also reach out to the White House at 202-456-1111. I worked on Capitol Hill, so I don't ever have any issue urging the administration to do what it can and ensure that Congress is doing what it can. There was a resolution that was passed in alignment with the petition that's online urging Brittany's return, her safe and prompt return. That's already passed the United States House of Representatives. So people are doing all they can. Now it's time for the administration to meet us in that same energy and do all it can. I thought I was just going to have a sit-down interview with Sherelle Griner. And what ended up happening to me, maybe because I was raised by an activist, is I felt too like I had no choice. If this were Tom Brady or any other professional athlete that has won championships for its team, has been an all-star, right? We would be treating this very differently. So I would urge everyone to take that same approach. If this was your sibling, this was your parent, if this was one of your best friends, how would you work to secure their return? This is on all of us, and we have to continue to apply pressure to the administration to do all it can. Brittany's been there for too long.
Yeah, we just heard that Griner's trial is adjourned today. The next session is Thursday, July 7th. So we will keep you guys updated with what happens. Angela Rice, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lots of NBA action at the start of free agency yesterday, but probably the most surprising move was the news that Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. Nets GM Sean Marks is working with the two-time champ and his business manager Rich Kleiman on finding a trade, according to Kleiman. Does this mean that the KD Kyrie duo is over? It has been floated out there that they could be packaged together, which would be a beautiful thing. I mean, they're friends. Right, Freddie? I'm going to start with you because I see you shaking your head. Well, would you want to see them play together?
Being the agent of chaos that I am, yeah, because I want to see this fail somewhere else, to be completely honest with you, because I can't foresee that no matter where they decide to go, they're going to pair up with each other again, that this is going to work. Kevin Durant has made it very, very clear that he can be friends with Kyrie Irving, but he does not want to play basketball with him. But like I mentioned, I don't mind being an agent of chaos from that standpoint, because Kyrie Irving knows how much he has to realize how much of a bad look this is, that the reason that Kevin Durant decided he did not want to be with you anymore was because he didn't want to ruin the friendship, because Courtney made that point earlier that Kevin Durant chose the friendship between him and Kyrie Irving, and they were both willing to pull a Beastie Boys and sabotage the Brooklyn Nets from that standpoint. So if you're Kevin Durant, and like I said, I want to see it, to see it not work somewhere else. But if I'm Kevin Durant, there's no way I want to play with him anywhere else. Don't please Freddie Coleman. You got to please yourself if you're Kevin Durant.
Hell no, I don't want to see this happen. Did Kevin Durant not learn his lesson this past year of what happens when you put your faith and your trust in Kyrie Irving? I don't want to see Kevin Durant go through this again. And yes, I know we might not have the same sort of vaccine mandate that was applied to the 2021-2022 season that kept Kyrie Irving out of regular season home games. I don't think that's going to be an issue again this year. But who's to say there isn't going to be some other thing that attracts Kyrie Irving's attention, makes him want to take another two-week vacation and not tell the organization where he's going, what he's doing? Who's to say that that doesn't happen again and hurt Kevin Durant again? I don't want to see Kevin Durant put in the same situation that he was last February, last March, where he gets injured because he's carrying the load for someone who doesn't want to show up to work. I don't want to see that happen because Kevin Durant is going to be 34 years old. He has dealt with injuries throughout his career, most recently with the ruptured Achilles that he came back from in order to play with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. And we never got to see that come to fruition. I don't want to see these two team up somewhere else and Kevin Durant have to go through this again, where he is carrying the load for someone who is predictably unpredictable. To me, you could be friends with this guy. You can still hold him in very high regard, Freddie. But I think that you make a clean break here because it's very clear. If you really wanted to play basketball with him, you could, because he just opted into his $36.5 million player option with the Brooklyn Nets. If Kevin Durant wanted to give this one more go, he could have done it with the Brooklyn Nets. Why would you take this toxicity that you're trying to get away from and go somewhere else and say, no, let's run it back and let's think it's going to be different? I don't know, if we go to the Los Angeles Lakers together. It makes no sense to me. Kevin Durant is too good for this drama that he has been dragged into and tried to rise above the entire time. Go somewhere else, start fresh, give yourself what you deserve. Love yourself, Kevin Durant. That's basically what he needs to do at the end of this, because being with Kyrie Irving, that's the anvil that's on Kevin Durant's ankle right now holding him down.
Well, Kevin Durant had to do that then, because he could have done this the first time.
I know.
He could have, but he chose not to for whatever reason, Courtney.
He thought he was the one that was going to fix Kyrie Irving. And I know that might have been a little ignorant, knowing what happened in Cleveland, how he exited.
Not a little
there.
Ignorant. That's going to be a little pregnant. Either you are or you're not from that standpoint when it comes to being ignorant. That was completely ignorant of a guy that shows me that should have more intelligence than that to look at Kyrie Irving and say, all right, based on the tea leaves, I can't change that guy. Especially, it's not in his nature to do that when it comes to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant wants to go along to get along. He wants to go with the flow of the situation. Sometimes when someone goes against that flow, you can't put yourself and be that anvil. I hear what you're saying in terms of you don't want Kyrie Irving to be the anvil to his ankle. Yeah, I was being facetious because, I just want to see this fail again, mainly because I saw how it spectacularly failed with the Brooklyn Nets. But if Kevin Durant is going to have whatever he wants, you can't allow yourself to be swayed by somebody just because you have loyalty to that friend. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of friends of mine that I would never go in business with.
Sure.
I would look at them, hey, Freddie, I got this. Mm-mm. And you're not wasting my money because I know how you are.
That's true.
Kevin Durant had to have known how Kyrie Irving was. And if he decided to ignore that, then that's a Kevin Durant problem. That he made it a Brooklyn Nets problem by doing something like that.
Well, and I said this earlier on the show, does it not feel like Kevin Durant opting to request a trade after Kyrie Irving opted in is him sticking it to the Brooklyn Nets,
right,
and siding with the guy that put him in this spot?
I don't disagree.
I can't make sense of that. That's the part that really frustrates me, and I'm never going to speak for another athlete. I'm not going to speak for Kevin Durant in the circumstance, but I don't understand it because this person cost you your chance at an NBA title last year because of his decisions that were not contained in a vacuum. You play a team sport, and what his decision did not only affected Kyrie Irving, it affected the entire roster, it affected the entire franchise that hedged everything to make this happen. And I'm not absolving the Brooklyn Nets of their responsibility in all of this. They messed up the day that they decided to cede all of their power to their superstars. Like we talked about, 2019, when they gave DeAndre Jordan that $40 million extension to please Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that was strike one. Firing Kenny Atkinson because he wanted to play Jared Allen over DeAndre Jordan because they didn't want to, like, worry about any of the juju between head coach and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Strike two. Trading everything for James Harden, and now you're in the situation where you're going to have to rebuild your entire franchise because of the decisions that you made to give the power to these superstars. This is a masterclass in what not to do and how not to handle things if you are an owner, if you are a general manager. Like, I really can't wrap my head around the fact that Sean Marks, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, in one calendar year will have lost James Harden,
right,
Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. How does that make sense? How do you let it get that bad?
Because the NBA is a players' league. And he allowed the players to run the organization. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why he has you so upset now.
I'm fuming. I'm literally shaking right now, trying to wrap my head around that.
I don't try to wrap my head around things like this. You know why? Because organizations that are desperate will always do something like this. The Brooklyn Nets have never mattered in New York City since Dr. J and the Nets were in the ABA. They have never mattered. It is always going to be a Knicks town, Courtney and Christine. And that's the way it goes. So when you want to matter, if you know you are never, ever going to be that big dog on the porch, if you know you're always having the table scraps underneath the house and underneath the porch, what are you going to try to do? You're going to make the biggest noise by barking to hope people pay attention to you. That's what this was from the Brooklyn Nets. And when they had the opportunity, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they want to come here. Man, we got to make sure the house is nice. We got to make sure the carpets are clean.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that everything is right for them. You know what happens when you do that? When you give the people that kind of stroke to say you own this organization, you get what Kyrie Irving said,
right?
Me, Kevin, and the ownership are going to go forward. At that standpoint, what did you think was going to happen? And that's why I come back to the premise that Kevin Durant should have seen this coming.
Right.
Because he tried a same power play, Courtney and Christine, in Boston. And Jason Tatum at 6'9", and Jaylen Brown at 6'8", said, brother, take a good look at me.
Thank you.
You're not going to talk to me that way.
Exactly.
But the minute he got to Brooklyn and he put that out there, everybody took a step back, including Kevin Durant, because of his loyalty. You know what loyalty got these people? Like my friend Bruce Beck, who does sports for NBC4 in New York, said, it became a colossal failure. That's what happens when you A, don't have structure, and B, don't have an alpha dog to say, either you do it this way or you're going to have to pay the consequence. And that's what the Nets never did.
I'm going to leave it with this because I know we got to get to break. So, like, Kevin Durant did this one time. He learned the hard way. If you do this again and it fails, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Sure.
So please, Kevin Durant, I'm begging you, don't make that mistake twice.
And I think to your point, too, about Sean Marks not being able to figure it out, that's probably why KD is like, I am leaving right now, because he
realizes
saw
chaos.
The writing on the wall. Yeah. Exactly. It's straight toxicity.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
John Morant has put the Grizzlies back in the spotlight, and now the team is handing him the bag. The young star agreeing to a five-year extension worth up to $231 million with Memphis, the $193 million guaranteed. And then there's the reigning two-time league MVP, Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets giving him the largest contract in NBA history, a five-year, $270 million supermax extension he has now secured for Denver for a total of six seasons for $303 million. So obviously two great players getting a bag. You'll have to see it. Courtney, I'm going to go to you first. Who do you think is more likely to win a title?
I say it's Nikola Jokic because last season got a giant I for incomplete for me because this is a team that won 48 games in spite of not having Jamal Murray because of injury for that big stretch. True. And same thing with Michael Porter Jr. Now, we know that they need more than just those two to be able to get out of a first-round series and the help that Nikola Jokic needs to receive, too, on the defensive end. Like, that, to me, was their number one priority that they talked about following the season, like when they bowed out against the Golden State Warriors. So I'd like to see all of those things come to fruition. I know they really only have, like, one roster spot right now. They have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope that they just recently brought in. And I say this with the benefit of the doubt that this means that Kevin Durant's not going to Denver because I think there's way too many things that would need to happen. I don't think that there are actually things that could happen because when I mentioned Murray and Porter Jr., Denver couldn't do that deal because of the rookie extension thing unless they did something with the Nets did something with like dumping Ben Simmons as well in that. So I say that with the roster as currently constructed, I think that Nikola Jokic has the best chance right now.
Yeah, I love Nikola Jokic, and I love when I get into arguments with friends of mine, Joel Embiid's a better center, better MVP. I'm like, look, you need to take that somewhere else. Nikola Jokic earned the back-to-back MVPs, and Joel Embiid's just going to have to deal with that. That's just my opinion on that one. But I think Memphis is more likely to win the title first with Ja Morant because you always learn lessons along the way. That's not to say that Denver hasn't learned a lesson. I still worry about Denver, Michael Porter Jr. When you have back injuries, that's always a concern with me. Jamal Murray's a beast, though. There's no doubt about that for the Denver Nuggets, what he's able to do to be a perfect complement to Nikola Jokic. But they got some kind of squad in Memphis where I like to call them Noah's Ark. They got two of everything. It doesn't matter if it's a point guard when you got Ja Morant, Tyus Jones. They re-signed him to back him up. Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, is going to be a really continued new age kind of center that can play inside and outside. You got Desmond Bane. You got Dylan Brooks. Taylor Jenkins, an outstanding coach, always has them well prepared, allows them to free flow a little bit. He reminds me so much of Michael Malone, what he does as coach of the Denver Nuggets. But Jokic is an animal in a good way. That Ja Morant guy is an animal of the 25th power. He is not going to back down from anybody. He's going to make those kind of tough plays. And I just think the way that he's able to have that killer instinct and lead his basketball team is that that's the dividing line for me. Who's going to win the title first between Ja Morant and Nikola Jokic in Denver?
To your point on that, with the head coach who knows how to make sure that his superstar can stay healthy. Like, I think this is honestly a toss-up. You could pick either one of these. And, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies have put the Golden State Warriors on notice in the West that they're going to be around for a while. Mm-hmm. The reason they're going to be around for a while is because that team knows how to manage Ja Morant, who, you know, we've talked about this. I think he's the bounciest player in the NBA for a reason. Keep him healthy.
Sure.
And the head coach knows, Taylor Jenkins knows how to do that. He's talked about that, not sacrificing the right now for the long term when it comes to Ja Morant.
And Ja Morant's got to do the same thing, too.
Sure. The Grizzlies got all the young guys. They want all the smoke. They're tweeting. I love it. I love it so much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kevin Durant is on the move, and Perk was asked yesterday where he wants to see KD go.
And I'm going with Golden State.
Oh.
I'm going with Golden State.
Run it back?
Yeah, they will run it back. If they could find a way to do a, you know, some type of trade that involves
Andrew. I don't think they want him back.
Andrew Wiggins cannot finish, okay? Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, we're doing that
now. And bring Kevin Durant back, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. Hell, I think they would love to see it because we all know and they know it's hard to win a championship, but it's hard to defend going back into the following season because guess what? Teams get better. Why not you?
They don't want him back. That's the best part.
It
That's
really is.
Part of that clip. Thanks, RJ.
Oh, we're doing
for that.
This now.
So, Courtney, I'm going to ask you this. If Kevin Durant had to go back to a former team, would you rather see him go to the Warriors or to OKC?
OKC. I love a career arc where everything comes full circle. And I've been trying to run some of these scenarios through my head. Who would I rather see him play with, SGA or Chet Holmgren, who the Oklahoma City Thunder just took second overall last week? Because you're not going to see both. Unless you're going to, like, orchestrate a third team in here, which I don't have the brain power to do, I would like to see him play with the Slim Reaper, with Chet Holmgren. Okay. I'd like to see that take place for Kevin Durant to go back to where it all started and see what you can do. But if I'm thinking realistically, they're not going to scrap a multi-year rebuild for someone who at this point, 4 years of Kevin Durant would be awesome, don't get me wrong, but right. It just doesn't feel like it would align perfectly with what the Oklahoma City Thunder are trying to do, but I'd much rather see that than him go back to the Golden State Warriors, a team that he left after winning two championships, to start something new.
Didn't he seem to be the happiest as a ball player in Oklahoma City when everything was fresh and brand new, rising up that city, NBA franchise after they moved from Seattle, Oklahoma City? It seemed that that's when Kevin Durant was at his happiest because there was no pressure on him.
Right.
Nobody thought that Oklahoma City would want to be in that Western Conference power that made the NBA Finals when he, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook were together along with Serge Ibaka. That's when I thought that Kevin Durant was at his happiest. Yeah, Golden State, although can you imagine that happened? That'd be the best Draymond Green podcast ever if he decided to go back to Golden
they would
State.
Need to bring DeMarcus Cousins
oh
back.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, keep everybody apart.
When DeMarcus Cousins is the voice of reason, you know
That's
you can't go back. You know, since we're doing the whole Ben Affleck, J-Lo backsliding thing here, yeah. If he's going to go to 1X to me, it can't be Golden State. It's got to be Oklahoma City. Golden State's like, look, to Richard Jefferson's point, we don't need you. We won before you got here. We won after you got here. You had to win with us. Right. You had to win with us. We proved we could win with you.
But he was still the MVP. Finals MVP. I mean.
Steph Curry should have gotten one of those. He should have gotten one of those.
That's good for him. So
okay.
Nobody wants him in Golden State.
No. No one needs
I'm with Richard Jefferson.
I'll say I want him
I don't think they want him back.
Did you just mimic Richard Jefferson?
That was a weird voice.
Wow. That's not my impersonation. Just a voice coming from like the corner of the room.
I just
want to
make sure we stand. Just
want
to make. I don't want Richard Jefferson giving you strays. I don't want that to happen now.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. It was great hanging with you guys this week.
Our pleasure.
So much fun.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a great weekend, I'm sure.
Quiet weekend, maybe.
Hopefully more chaos happens. We love the chaos.
Maybe Cody get more upset over the weekend.
We'll see you guys next time.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.